Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the praise. You deserve praise. Worthy is your name. Come on, tell us tonight. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. He can run it and be saved. It's that name alone. It's that name alone. Jesus. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our way maker, our way through and our way out, our breakthrough in the storm is Jesus. Oh, the only name, Jesus. The only name with power to save. The only name that resurrects the dead. The only name that causes the blind to see and the lame to walk. The deaf to hear and the dumb to talk. Oh, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The healer, the cure is Jesus. The cure is Jesus. The cure is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Above all names, the name that we are praising, the name that gave us another day, the name that gave us strength, the name that gave us our intellect, the one that clothed us in our right mind and gave us the activities of our limbs. His name is Jesus, the one who kept us through the night and brought us into this new day. His name is Jesus. So we build on the name of Jesus, our salvation. My life, our eternity, yes, Lord, is on Jesus. So today, Lord God, we are just so excited. We are so delighted that we could come this morning. You have brought us into this new day that we have never seen before. And truly, we are blessed to be in this day, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, many people have not made it into this day, but we are here. We are here in this day. Glory to God, and we are giving you glory. We are giving you honor. And we are giving you praise, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are giving you glory. Father, we thank you, O God, and we praise you, O God, for this day. We ask, Father God, that you would bless our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts to receive this day, O God. As you speak through your servant, God, that you have already anointed her and appointed her for this day, for this hour, these hours, O God, that she would declare and decree your truths to all us, your people, and to the church all over the world. We pray today, God, that you would use a tongue as the pen of a ready writer, O God, to write on the parchment of our hearts. And God, that we will not just be hearers of the word today, but we will be doers. We will activate what we hear today in our lifestyle, in our ministry. O God, we pray, Father God, for this day. And Lord, you would use her. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on in, Minister Ondeer. And let the Lord use you. When I hear your voice, I shall go on mute. Come on in.
Amen. Do you
praise
hear me, Papa?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Good morning to everyone. Good afternoon. I just want to thank God for life. I want to thank God for his love, his mercy, and his grace. Today is such a beautiful day, and it's a good day to be encouraging the Lord. Every day is a good day to be encouraging the Lord. But I just want to thank God for allowing us to be here this morning, to be in the land of the living, to have all the activities of our limbs, and just to be grateful for all that we have and all that we are waiting for and everything else that God has promised unto us. Amen. The word that God gave me today for today was, a house divided will fall. A house divided will fall. Receiving this topic made me genuinely go to God, go before God and say, God, I don't know what I've done. Father God, forgive me if I've done anything that would divide me from you or will allow my house, my spirit to be dampened. I'm asking you for forgiveness. I'm asking you to bring it to light. Whenever God gives me a word, each time I receive a topic in my spirit, I ask God to help me to understand the word as it pertains to my life, as it pertains to the world, as it pertains to many things that I see around me. Amen? Because I always want to remain upright within the grace of God and the will of my Father. That's what we should always strive for, to be upright and to be within the will of the God, within the will of God, excuse me. Anything divided means it is separated, split in two parts, not unified, and in disagreement. Anything divided is not whole. A Christian, and most importantly, children of God, as children of God, we are to remain connected to God, and we are to be in agreement with his word and his will for our life. As his children, as Christians, we ought to claim our Father. We ought to ask God to keep us united in him and not divided. As children, we are to stay in the presence of our Father, in the presence of God, so that we become united as one whole, so that there's no lacking in our spirit. There's no lacking in the things that we're coming to God for, that our spirit will be able to stand. We will be able to endure. We will be able to preserve. And we will not be separated. Our faith will not be shaken. Our house will not be divided. We will not be pulled here to and fro because our minds will be steady. Our minds will be within the will of God. Our minds will be focused on the things that God is calling us to do, and we will be entrusted of him. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 22 in the NLT, I will read from the Bible, excuse me. In verse 12, it says, just as one body through one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. You know, as I study and focus each scripture word in, each line by line, you know, God continued to speak to me and my eyes open. I love when I read the word of God and it becomes very vivid. It becomes clear, you know, it becomes like technicolor, you know, as my eyes are being opened. And I'm like, God, you're right. You know, in life, in this life that we're living, we're all Christian. We know when Jesus Christ came into the world, he didn't come to bring religion. He brought himself. He is the body that we are all supposed to be a part of, and each part is so essential. We are not supposed to be divided. We're not supposed to be looking down on the other men. We're not supposed to be looking at the other church. We're not supposed to be looking at this and what they're not doing, what they are doing, and criticizing who's right and who's wrong. When we study the Word of God, when we study God as a whole, the love that we feel, how he changes our situation, how he strengthens us even when we're going through trials. It doesn't have a coding. It doesn't have a person. It doesn't. It just is. God doesn't say, oh, for these people over here, for the Belizeans, for the Jamaicans, for this one, for that denomination, for this denomination. We are also supposed to be connected to God as one body. When we look at ourselves as humans, no matter where we are, what part of the world we're from, what our genealogy makeup is, the point is we still have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that keeps us alive, that wakes us up in the morning, that convicts us, that tells us when we're wrong from right. It doesn't have a denomination set. It's not divided. It is the same. It's whole inside of us. When I bleed, when you bleed, when other people bleed, no matter where we are, what church we belong to, when you bleed, the blood is still red. So our Father don't want us to be divided. He wants us to be loving unto one another. He wants us to keep our hearts pure and upright in his sight so that we could be unified as one, because we are all essential in his body, in his kingdom. He is our head. And every part is necessary. Amen? So it says here in verse 14, Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Amen? Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That even so speaks in volume. God is so vast and God is so loving. When we think of this world, when we think of the world as a whole, everyone in this world, we're human. Everyone shares the same limb. Everyone has the same Spirit of God flowing in them. But the knowledge of God is where we need to get more of. We need to gain more of his understanding, more of his knowledge of who he is. We need to remain in his presence and stay connected to God so that he could keep bringing us and drawing us onto him. But we are all made up of the same. We all have the same eyes, you know, frame, lips, nose, hand, finger. When it comes to God, he's precise. Everything that God does has a reason. It has a purpose in this world. And if we stay connected to God, our house will stand. His house will continue to reign. It will not be divided. It will not fall apart. You will not walk over to the next church and they be like, oh, that one is not doing what he's supposed to do. Or, you know, they sing wrong. You know, they pray wrong. You know, we have to know the word of God. And because we are God's children, we ourselves have to exemplify it. We have to ourselves have to be unified and stay connected and reach out to others and love on others and let them know who God is in their life, who God is in our life, and the strength and power that he carries. Amen? If they were all one part, where would the body be? Verse 20 says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. It's only Jesus Christ. God sent him here. God made him human so he could come in and show us how to stay united, how not to be divided, how not to separate yourself. He came into this world to give us knowledge, to be the illustration of what God wants us to be. To show us how to love, to show us how to encourage, to show us how to pray. Everything that we need is there. So there should be no division. If we do not follow the word of God, there's weakness. There's shakiness. And therefore, you could crumble. We could crumble. We need to stay connected. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no specific treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there would be no division in the body. No division. Whether someone is weak, whether someone is learning, we are still supposed to encourage. Whether someone knows it all, we are still supposed to be united. If we, if our house, if our church, if our homes, if even on the job, there's no unity, there's no love, there's no respect, there's no encouragement, there will always be some sort of chaos. There will be arguments. It will not work. If my hand today decides not to work, both of my hands, how will I make it? My feet was not trained to pick up stuff. You know, when I was in Nigeria, I saw this little young lady, little girl. She looked like she was probably no more than 12. And my heart raced because, and I said, God, thank you for this eye-opening. This young lady, arms, she really didn't have any arms, no leg. It was just her shoulders and the two little arms, like wrists, that came out. So they weren't even functional. They were just there. But I watched her, this little girl, because this is all she knew, she was able to pick stuff up with her feet. She was able to do a lot. She was just trying her best to make it. And everyone around her was helping her. Everyone around her was encouraging her and making sure that the things that fell to the ground that she wasn't able to pick up, they were picking it up. And that's how we need to stay united. Because if we're not united, if we're not learning the word of God, if we're not encouraging each other, if we're not doing these things, and I know I myself is at fault. There's times I come, there's times I don't come. You know, and each time I will get better. But we have to continue to encourage each other as well as ourselves to understand, to learn the word of God, to serve God genuinely in our hearts, to listen to God, to come to God even when we, not just when we are going through a hardship, but come to God when we are in the most joyous moment. Sing unto the Lord. Dance unto the Lord. Be excited about the things of God so that we will be in unity of his will. If one part suffer, every part suffer with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of us is a part of it. We all have a specific, let me put my phone on mute. Each one of us have a specific task that will help to grow, that will help to strengthen everyone, everything that is connected to us in the kingdom of God. If we are in one church, and here we all are on Blog Talk, no matter who brings the word, no matter what song is sung, no matter what the situation it is, we all leave the line feeling filled. We all leave the line more encouraged than when we came to the line. We all leave the line with conviction that is needed to help us to get out of the funk or get out of the place that God don't want us to be. We all take something, but we're all united. And that is just the power of God. We're united as one. The house is strong. It's not divided because we share the word of God and we love God. We have the same mindset to go out and serve God. And each and every one of us are not physically connected, but we're spiritually connected. We're unified in the body of Christ. None of, majority, except for me, an apostle, we're not in Massachusetts. Everyone is elsewhere in their various areas, but God is still able to draw and connect and pull us together so our house, his house, stands. His house grows, and we become more knowledgeable of who he is. But the knowledge of who God is, understanding the purpose of God, is only received if we want to receive it. It's only poured into us as we open ourselves to receive. So, yes, our house should not be divided. We need to be united in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Corinthians also, chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. It says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thoughts and purpose. One mind. I have to say, I've been to many church in my, you know, I came back into the house of God. I've always been a part of the Lord. I've never walked away from God. But when I left my country, Belize, and I came to America, I didn't go to church. I wasn't going to fellowship in another church. But I was still serving God. I was still talking to God, even as a teen growing up. I know who God is because of the covenant and the speaking that he spoke to me when I was 8 years old. So I love God with all my heart. But here I am in 2015 as to where I'm at now. And I've been to many different churches. And I've seen the struggle where, because we're not united in our spirit, because there's so much division, self-gratification, edification, you know, self-wanting, that we don't see the purpose and the will of God. We have to be united in thoughts. If each and every one of us go in to the house of God and say, I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. I'm not going to look at that man or that woman as to what they're doing, but I'm just going to go in and do as God is asking me to do. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to love God, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to help others, and I'm going to do all these things. We will be unified. We will grow. But we know sometimes there's problems that come and go. But I'm grateful for God in all of my teaching here on Block Talk. I have seen the unity of God. I have seen the like-mindedness. I have seen the love. I have seen the grace. I have seen everything from each and every one of y'all. Some of you guys on the line, we have never seen each other's face. We don't even know how each other looks. But we thank God because when God shows us the Spirit, when God shows us His Spirit that is united in us, His Spirit that is strong in us, the Holy Spirit that He placed in this body on earth, it is the same when we choose. When we choose to serve God, all of us who are like-minded will gravitate. God will pull us towards each other and pull us towards Him. Amen? It says, to live in harmony with each other, let there be no divisions in the church, but rather be of one mind, united in thoughts and purpose. For some members of the Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brethren, brothers, and sisters. All these things, and you know, the thing is we love God and we understand where division can come. When we study the Word of God, He clearly spells out things that would bring separation, things that would bring division in the physical church, but things that would bring separation when it comes to our spirit and our unity with Him, that will pull us away from Him. Quarrel, malice, envy, all these things that are destined to destroy, all these things, if you hold on to it, if you horn in on it, if you gravitate towards it, it just pulls you and it weighs you down. It will weigh you down. God wants us to be free. He wants us to go up higher. So in going up higher, we have to understand where these divisions come in. When we are thinking about divisions and our house, you know, divided, a house divided will fall, we think of many things. For me, I think of my own personal home. I think of my personal walk with God. I think of my job situation. I think of my church situation. I even think of my relationship with my children, with my daughter. We have to see God's word and when He speaks in everything. We have to be able to see it in the spirit and allow our spirit to apply it to the natural so that we can live according to His will, so that we could always be within His will. You know, I have people who always say to me, girl, you always in the spirit. Girl, you always in the spirit. And I love it, and I just laugh at them. I say, why wouldn't I want to be in the spirit? Everything happens in the spirit. The truth of who God is in the spirit. Yes, I live in this world, but I'm not of this world, and I will not conform to this world because I know who I am and where I belong. So I will take what God has shown me in the spirit and apply it to this natural life so that I could be connected and stay within his will, that I could do my best to love. I could do my best to encourage. I could do my best to stand strong, have the strong faith that is necessary to say no to the things of these worlds, to say no to the things that the enemy brings to me, to say no to the negativity and put that barrier, that spiritual barrier around me that it does not come in and try to take away from what God has poured into me, what God has blessed into me. We have to be able to know what these things are. It's in the Bible. Everything that we need to know, to learn, to encourage, to grow deeper, it's in the Word of God. It's in life as a whole. When we look at the birds in the air, do we ever see them fighting and bickering and quarreling? No. We see them flying together. We see them moving through the air. We hear them singing. You know, when you look at the trees, does the tree, you know, it has its life as its own. Is it beating on each other? No, it's not. It's flowing free. It's enjoying the glory of God. It's united, not divided. As humans, we need to learn to stand strong and say no. We need to know when it's time to walk away from certain situations in our life that is toxic. We need to know and say, God, this will bring division in my spirit. This will bring me to say no to you. This will bring me to compromise my walk. Compromise your love. Compromise the way I treat people. I don't want this, Lord. I want better. I want to stay connected because I want to be unified in you. I want to keep your laws. I want to keep your commands. I want to go for it and keep all that you're asking me to do to the best of my ability that can only be accomplished through you as you instruct me. Amen? Amen. So let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verses 32, and I'm reading from the NLT if I didn't say that before. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 says, all the believers were unified in heart and in mind, and they felt that what they own was not their own, so they shared everything they had. All the believers were unified in heart and mind. That means they were unified in spirit and in truth, in their heart, in their mind, in knowing what God is asking them, in knowing that everything that we have attained in this world, everything that we have received in this world is not man-made. It is not man-made. It's not our own intellectual processing that gave it to us, but it is God that instructed us and directed us and gave us knowledge, gave us wisdom, gave us understanding to gain wealth, to gain movement, to gain a better position in your job, to gain whatever it is. God led us. So it says here, so they shared everything they had. Share. Whoever God lead us to share, share. Whatever God puts on our heart to do, even, and it's not just sharing of finances, it's sharing our love. It's sharing the word. It's sharing a prayer. It's sharing encouragement. It's just going and sitting with a friend and says, you know what, I know you've been having a hard time, and listening to them speak. Sometimes people just need to share their emotions, to get what is on their chest, to cry. And in that moment, we hold them. We show them compassion. We share empathy of their situation. And we encourage them that God is with them. We let them know that don't be hasty. Don't be reactive in your spirit to the things around you. Be reactive to the Word of God. Be reactive to what the Word is saying for you to do, for us to do, and what the Word is teaching us not to do. Sometimes in our walk as Christians, we become judgmental in our own thinking, and we forget the grace God has given us. What we have is not our own. So share everything. Share the love in our hearts. Share the thoughts of how God is encouraging you, what the Word of God is saying, what you welcome and you feel, whatever it is. Find the person that God wants you to share knowledge and work and ask God to how to lead us to do better, so that His Word will continue to grow out there vastly and people will start receiving Him. When we as humans, as children of God, we are to stay connected with Christ as well as with each other in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, to help encourage and help others to stand strong. When we as human become pressed or stricken in our minds, our hearts start to divide. We start to second-guess God. We start to second-guess ourselves. We start to go in backwards instead of moving forward. We become stagnant. We stand still. And what happens? That opens the door for the enemy to come in, to separate, to try to sever what God has put together. When we become pressed, I shared on Deacon Fraser's line last night that, you know, I give God the glory for my sister. You know, earlier this week she was dealing with some situation and she called me, I think it was Saturday. Yes, because I was coming home late that night, Saturday. And I prayed with her for 45 minutes because she just needed prayers and she cried and she cried. And I just allowed God to just show me what to pray. And I said to her on Monday, I said, gee, you know, I share my story that my situation with a vehicle, that I needed a vehicle, and Apostle was the one that took me to get the vehicle. He went there with me, and His presence was so strong. God was so with us, and I got a vehicle without putting anything down. And I encouraged her and told her, if God is able to do miracles like that for me, He sure will do it for you. And she needed a vehicle. She gave $2,800 to a man in Houston, and the man wouldn't give her back her money and produce a car. So I said, don't worry about it. God will allow you to receive it back. I said, but go forth to the dealership Sunday and go in just trusting in God, and I guarantee God will give you a vehicle just the same way as He did for me. And this is something physical, but it's more than physical. It's spiritual, is trusting in God to help someone build their faith in knowing that God is there with them. On Monday, the dealer was closed Sunday. On Monday, she went in, and she walked out of there that very night with a 2021 brand-new Honda Civic, everything fully, whatever. All she had to pay was, I guess, $2,000, but everything was brand-new. And we praised God and gave God the glory. But in that stance, the next day, she sent something to me, and I said, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I believe in God. I know that God does it. I said, well, don't ever forget to give God the glory. She said, Andera, at one point, I think it was 3 years ago, when she came back to Boston, her intentions was to come back to kill herself, to commit suicide. And she said, Andera, at that time, I separated. I was divided from God. So I know I was fallen. She said, I could not. And this word that God gave me was before I spoke to my sister. And I was like, wow, God. She said, I stopped praying because I was so in a deep, depressed place. I was lost, and I stopped praying because I knew my intentions was to come and take my life. But I know it was something that God was not pleasing of. It's something that God is not okay with. So I felt like I couldn't even pray to Him because I was so ashamed. But I remember when she came that day, I prayed with her. I remember she said, Andera, that day, Alondra would not leave my side. She kept telling me how much she loved me. She kept telling me how much, you know, she needs me and she loves me and she hugged me that day. She said, I didn't even have a break because she never left me to do what I wanted to do. And all I did was hold her and cried. But she's still here today. Why? Because God will always intervene. God don't want us as His children to fall and be divided and be separated from Him. He wants us to stay connected. So no matter what trials we are going through, stay in the presence of God and continue to be in unity with His will for our life. Amen? In James 1:8, the Word of God says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Everything. Many times as we're going through, many times as we don't even know what the situation is at front, we start doubting ourselves. We start doubting ourselves. We start doubting the process of God. We start doubting whether God is doing it. We have to encourage yourself. Whenever you feel that doubt coming in, we do the reverse. No, God, I'm not going to doubt you. I'm going to believe. I'm going to hold faith. I need you to give me stronger faith than I have now. I need you to show me something tangible. I need you, God, to pour into me your energy, your fire at this moment so that I can stand strong, so that my mind, many days, I ask God to strengthen my mind because my imagination can run with me. You know, we all have imagination that goes wide and near and far and here, and you're like, oh, my God. Sometimes my mind venture off. I even have to laugh and be like, oh, my God, really? Like, where did you come from? Where did this come from? And I'm like, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke it. My sister, she now says to me, she said, Andera, whenever things pop up in my head, because last week she was in a get into a dark place, I said, you weren't here before, but it's not your portion. I said, the devil is a lie. She said, Andera, you now have me saying the devil is a lie. I said, yes, he's a filthy liar. And we are not to believe the negative things that flows up in our mind, the negative things that pulls up in our spirit. Don't ever sit and believe it because the God that we serve loves us. The God that we serve will not bring harm and danger onto us and try to claim it for himself. No, that is the enemy's work. Who's trying to distort us? Who's trying to divide us so that we will fall away from God and hold on to God? However, the way to keep united and not allow division is to set in, division to set in, we need to draw close to God. Draw close. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. James 4, verses 8. I'm going to read verses 8, and then I'm going to read verses 7. It says, come close to God. God will come close to you. When we come, when we draw close to God, God will draw closer to us. That means we're going to feel it. He's already there. God has never left us. He said he's never going to leave us or forsake us. So it's us, it's we that separate ourselves from God. Draw closer to God and he will draw near to us. That means we're going to be able to get back in that unity, get back in that relationship, get back in that fellowship with him so that we could feel his presence, so that we could hear his words, so that he could start showing us the things that we need to do in order to continue to survive and live, in order to move within his will so that we will one day be in his kingdom with him. Amen? That is the ultimate goal. Don't ever take our eyes. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Don't take your eyes that we are living so we can live forever. We're going through this process so that at the end we will graduate and God will still come into my kingdom. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. That our names will be in the book of life, that we will get our glorified body. That excites me to know that we are going to have a glorified body, one that we've never known. This is the only body we know. And, you know, as women, you know, we're constantly, or even apostle as a man, we constantly hear how we're trying to eat more healthy and, you know, stay away from the sugars and stay away from the chips and all the salt so that our bodies will stay well, that we will stay active, that our bodies will stay in a better, healthy shape, that we will have our lean look that we have. My daughter is very slim in her setting. And, you know, the other day, this week alone, I bought some vanilla ice cream. And she's lactose intolerant, but it's homemade ice cream, so it's much richer. And she was eating it. Every time she eats it, she runs to the bathroom. I said, please, as much as you're eating this ice cream, please, exercise. Do some jump rope. Do something to keep your body going. She said, but jump rope, I'm so tired. I said, Alondra, my love, please, do it now when you have the energy and the young youthness. Keep your body fit versus you get out of shape. You know, like myself, you get a little bounce out of shape, and then you have to work double hard to get back in. And that is the thing when it comes to God. Stay within his word. Stay within Israel. Stay connected, because when you fall away, you have to work twice as hard to stay. Maintain and stay and grow and flow with the things that God has placed in front of us, with what he is calling us to do. Serve him in genuineness. Serve him in all of our hearts, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, within our spirit. Love on him. Draw close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wash your hands. Keep them clean. Keep your spirit clean. Keep your spirit revived. Wash and ask God to continue each day, each morning. Wash your thoughts. Wash your heart. Wash your mouth. Wash your whatever it is that the enemy will try to use for you to bring filth out of it, so that we will not be consumed by the things of this world. That the glitz and glamour that flies in front of our eyes, the little sparkly things that, you know, engage us. Remember, before we were all here serving God, we had a past. So there's things from our past that the enemy will always throw in our life, throw it past our face to see if we're going to react when we stay in God. As much as it flies past our eyes, we will not be reactive to it. We will be able to denounce it. We will be able to remove ourselves from it. We will be able to rebuke it and say, no, it is not a part of me no more, because I am the child of God. I am sold out to the King. I am unified with him. I belong to his body. I am not a part of this world. I belong to him, and I will forever stay connected to him. We're able to resist. And guess what? The devil's going to get frustrated. He's going to walk away. He's going to go away. But that doesn't mean he might not jump back and try again. He's constantly trying. Again, when we think about the book of Job, look how all the trials. He even had a conversation with God to take your hands on your protection from around Job and see if he's going to still serve you. And he did. He did. But the devil never stopped coming. He came and he came and he came, and that's how he works. He will come. He will poke. He will shove. He will tempt. But we are not of this world. We don't belong to the world anymore. So the things of the world will not entice us. Therefore, the enemy have no choice but to flee. But to flee from us. In Mark chapter 3, verses 22, and I believe I'm going to 27, it says, Jesus, in here, in this scripture, Jesus is speaking to the teachers of the religious law, because they were saying that he's possessed by Satan, and this is why he has the power to cast out the demons, right? So in verse 23, Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? He asked the question, how can the devil cast out himself? He asked, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. That is so vivid. When we see the war that is abroad, even when we have little small wars here in America, there's always destruction. There's always life being lost. He said, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. How many times we're in our families, Christian families, and many people pack up and leave the church and things are separated and all this time because of little feuds, of little backbiting, you know? Because we are not connected in the same thought process, because as religious leaders, some religious leaders tend to want to take their own spiel of the Word of God and impose it on others versus reading the Word of God as it is in its own power and strength. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change us internally, which will then reflect externally, and we will start moving and operating in the Spirit of the Lord. It says, similarly, families splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? How can he stand? Think of it. If we're angry at ourselves, what do? We have no one else to fight. When you think of a fight, there's two people, right? We can't beat up on ourselves and be disappointed. No, we can't do that. But hear what God says. It says, he would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. That right there was so powerful. There is no one stronger than God. There is no one more powerful than God. There is no one more knowing, almighty than God. So therefore, when we have God in our homes, in our lives, in our hearts, in our bodies, as children, we claim him as our Father, as our Lord, as our Savior, as our healer. What enemy can come in and toss him out, can plunder his house, can destroy his house? No one can. But when the enemy tries to come in and divide, guess what? God is more powerful, so we need him to come in and clean shop. We need him to come in and disrupt and rebuke and, you know, rip up what the enemy's trying to plant in us. We need him to come in and prune us. We need him to come in and cultivate the soil and help us grow and plant us a new harvest. We need God to be the one to come in and take full control of our lives, of our hearts, of our spirit. So it doesn't matter how far a person may have fallen. It doesn't matter how pulled back or withdrawn a person is in their circumstances. As we're praying for our family members to continue to know God, to continue to trust in God, to continue to depend on God, and they keep seeing disappointment upon disappointment, ourselves, our families, our wives, our husbands, our children, we're seeing it. Guess what? We need to encourage them to come to God. He is the only one that can uproot. He is the only one that can destroy the works of the enemy. He is the only one that can uproot those negative seeds, those negative situations. He is the only one that can bring your house, your heart back together, that can bring your spirit back in unity with his, that can bring light back into your life, that can bring back the joy that we all want so much, the love of God in us. He is the only one that can do it. He can destroy the enemy's work. He can destroy the enemy completely so that they don't come near us. But we have to keep our hearts and minds in unity. We have to keep united. We have to constantly keep feeding and come to God and saying, Lord, I need more of you. He said a table is prepared before us, before our enemies. God has already given us a spread. We have to continue eating and rejoicing and knowing, having that strong faith that he keeps asking us to have. There's times our faith becomes shaken, yes, and we have to remember to encourage ourselves. The minute doubt comes in, the minute a negative thought flows in, we rebuke it, we shut it down, we say, no, this is not what the Lord has for me. God does not bring destruction into our lives. God does not bring separation into our families. God does not bring sadness and darkness into our children. No. He is the creator of all things. He is the light of the world. So wherever he goes, light will shine. Darkness will flee. The works of the enemy himself will have to run. Amen. Keep growing our knowledge of the Word of God. Keep trusting for him to keep bringing us forth. In Psalm 133, verses 1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant when we think of the love of God, when we think even of us each other on this phone, when we get on this phone, the laughter, the joy, the happiness, you know, we're talking to Mother Grant and she's like, I'm about to go get some crabs and all this, you know, these things, it makes you laugh like, my goodness, I want crabs too. You know, it's so, but it brings joy. It warms my heart. I smile because we can hear the happiness in their life. And I get to share in that. We all get to share in the happiness and joy. Even when we are sad, we still share in it. And we encourage and we pray. And we trust and we know that God will bring us out. When we are suffering, when we have pains and aches in our bodies, we come together as one and we pray. Even if we're not together as one, we're still united in our prayers. We're still united in our thoughts. We're still united in the word of God. We are united in him because we belong to him. Amen? It says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to his collar of his robe. Aaron, the high priest. Amen? We could visualize that. It's like precious oil. When we are here, there's times I'm praying and I feel like there's oil being poured into my brain. Like I feel things running in my brain and I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but thank you. Whatever it is that you're pouring into me, allow me to be able to utilize it in your kingdom. Utilize it in your kingdom. Let it be something that I can share with others in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, where the Apostle Paul, you know, he said, therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort come from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, having the same love, being one in spirit and one and of one mind. Let's stay connected. Have the same mind. If we receive love from God, if we are receiving encouragement from God, if we are receiving strength from God, share it. As God leads us, share. Take that same joy. Take that same love and pour it, lavish it onto someone that they will know that God is there with them, that they will not be alone, that they will not feel drawn out, that they will not feel torn down. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Whenever someone calls and they say, I'm not feeling good, when my sister called Saturday night, it was late, I was coming home with a lunch from her dad, and, you know, she called me. I was tired. I was drained. I was exhausted. But as she's talking, you know, I'm listening to her, and she just kept going, like, I feel this, I feel that, and I just don't know. I just started praying with her. I said, Jenny, can I pray for you? And I said, God, help me to pray words that will make sense, that will that her spirit will grab onto. When people call us and they say, oh, we just need a little encouragement. When people call us and they're like, oh, I'm a little bit stricken for finance. If we have it, share. If we have, share. God will always equip us to share so that they will stay connected. And they'll be like, you know what? I remember when I was in need and God provided for me. They now want to come towards the Lord. They now want to come serve God. They now start seeing the light and the glory of God. But we don't look and do these things because we want the next person to gratify us and say, oh, my God, you did this for me. No, 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 no. It's not about that. It's not about looking to see, girl, didn't I tell you? No, no, no. It's not about that. When you come and you say, oh, I received the car, God, praise God. When they come and say, Andera, the love that was in my breast is no longer there. Praise God. I want the glory to be to God. It's not a selfish ambition. in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. Christ was here to lead us. Christ was here to show us how to have a relationship with God, how to live an upright and righteous life. Christ was here to show us his love. Christ was here to continue to be that head for us. Christ is still here within us, leading and guiding us. He is the head. And we're all connected. We're all united in one. We're all essential parts of his body. His body that he gave that was on the cross, we're all a part of his life. So we are to stay connected. In closing, I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:8, and then I'm going to continue with Ephesians 4:13, which says, 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Thank you, Jesus. Be compassionate and humble until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Stay humble. Stay in love. Stay compassionate. Stay sympathetic. Stay in a sound mind, in a mind that will grow. Keep our hearts pure. Keep our thoughts pure. Keep our actions as God will treat us. Do unto others as you happen to you. The seeds that we sow will reap a harvest of goodness. Don't sow bad seeds. It says until everyone is aware of the unity and the love and have the faith and knowledge of God, the fullness of who Christ is. We all want to reach the final stand. We all want to be in heaven. We all want to receive a glorious, glorified body, even though we don't even know what it's going to look like, but we know it's going to be good. We all want to be in that place where we could thank God and we could just hold on to him forever and be joyous in his presence. We want to be in his house that we know will never be divided, that will never fall. It has been standing from before the creation of time, and it will continue to stand because he has the strongest power. There's nothing and no one more powerful than him. So let's stay connected to our Father. Father God, we are thanking you today for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father God, we are thanking you for life as a whole. We're thanking you, Father God, because you are with us. You have never forsaken us. Father God, we're thanking you, dear Lord, because our hearts are filled. I give you glory, Father God, for the many joys that you have poured out upon me. I am giving you glory. We are giving you glory, Father God, for all the healing that you have placed upon us. Father God, we are thanking you for all the covering that you have placed upon us, our families, and our loved ones. We're thanking you because you constantly keep fighting our battles, seen and unseen, as long as we trust in you. We're thanking you for the protection that you put upon us, dear Lord, that you put around us, dear Lord. Continue to show us your ways. Continue to keep us unified in your body, unified in your word. Continue to allow us, Father God, to be with others that are like-minded, Father God, and to encourage others to change their thought process. So, Father God, for you to purify their hearts and their minds so that they will come and be drawn to you, that they will come closer unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, how can we not love you? How can we not give you our all, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus? Father God, we are thanking you and we're asking you for forgiveness for the areas that we are lacking in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring awareness, open our eyes so that we may correct these things according to your will with your help, dear Lord. Father God, we're thanking you for your love. We're thanking you for the unified body that you have placed us in, dear Lord. Thank you for the victories that you have given, and for you, Father God, being our victor. Father God, we give you glory, we give you honor and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much, Minister Andre, for that powerful, anointed word. Hallelujah. All about unity, all about standing on one accord, standing together in Christ Jesus. We just thank God for you and thank God for using you to this magnitude. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. We thank you for your servant, how she has studied to show herself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth this day, Lord God. We just ask, oh God, that you would replenish all that she has poured out. Lord, that you would continue to watch over her and all of her siblings, all those that are connected to her, friends or family or foe. God, you watch over, Lord, that you keep safe and secure from the hand of the enemy, from the agendas of the enemy. We pray, Father God, now, Lord God, that you would open the window, the gate, and the doors of heaven, Lord God, and that you would flood her spirit man with this holy oil from the throne room, O God. Anoint her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. God, we ask for protection over her marriage, over her daughter, over her sisters, her brother, her niece and nephews. Lord, we ask for protection, Lord, in this pandemic time. Lord, we ask that you continue to replenish all that she has poured out right now. And God, we ask that you will bless her finances, O God, open doors and promotion, O God, and graduation and everything that goes with it, Lord God, sanctification and justification, O God, that you would pour out upon her and upon her family, Lord. Let those that are not saved and sanctified, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, come to know you through the anointed oil that's upon her life, O God, the light of God that rests upon her. Lord, we pray this today in Jesus' holy name. We have prayed. Well, the folk that was on that heard the word, they jump off as soon as you finish. I guess they didn't want to respond. The word was too powerful about unity and being on one accord with each other according to the word of God, living the word of God, and treating people the way we want to be treated. Hallelujah. And praying for those, even those that don't pray for us and that not concerned about us, so God, even mistreat us, we got to pray for them. This is what we was in a big chat with this. I tell you, like, if you heard the message, we was in the big chat yesterday afternoon after the service, Apostle Washington and Prophetess Millie and myself, we were in a big conference, the three of us,
wow,
on this very same topic, you know, of being together and as one, you know, and
as
believers and serving God with everything that's within us, you know. And here you come with the same message. So, you know, that's confirmation what God really wants for his church. I mean, that's what he has in his word. You know, he wants us to be on one accord.
Amen.
It's good for brothers to come together in unity. It's like the oil flowing down Aaron's beard, you know. So we need to stay together. So you were right on point of what God is required of us as the body, you know. And what it is that folk has to, we do it on Blog Talk, where we have to focus more on the word of God than our emotions, you know, or what motivates us or motivates people. It has to be the word of God from the crevice of the stone. It has to be, you know, it has to be the foundation of what we say, what we do, how we live the word of God. And if we are living the word of God, it's not going to be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem of to love your brother or love your sisters or, you know, or help your sister or brother. You know, we making our, and this is not boasting in any way, but our Blog Talk family, we has made a decree to help Africa and India every month. You know, we make that decree to the Lord because, you know, sometimes I was just looking at my wife just the other day, and she was saying, well, this food went in the fridge 2 days. we got to throw it out, throw it in the garbage disposal. And I said, well, let me check it out first, because I'm not going to throw it full because it went in the fridge for 2 days, and it was not like it was sitting out on the counter. It's been a week.
Right.
Well, let me check it out. If it don't smell bad, if it's not decaying, if it don't have mold on it, it's not going out. I'm going to heat it up, and I'm going to eat it. You all don't have to eat it, but I'm going to eat it, but not going to throw away. So, sure enough, we
That's
have
right.
some cabbage and roast and beef, you know. The stuff was good. It was no problem with it. It didn't have no type of a bad smell or anything. Well, she ended up having some of the cabbage in the beef. So, as you know, because a lot of times we are thinking of just throwing stuff away, and we could use the time, and instead of doing too much, we can use some of that access to have people, you know, instead of spending money on all this stuff, buying all this stuff. So help other people. We are getting ready now today. When I get off this line, I'm going to send some money out to Africa, and then probably next week I send to India. So, you know, we got to do this. This is what God has commissioned us to do. He says, when you give to the poor, you lend to me, and I will repay. But we're not doing this so knowing God's going to repay us, but the word said it, you know, so you can't differentiate from the word. So we thanking God for the message here is so powerful. It is so powerful. You talked about giving. You talked about loving. You talked about caring. I mean, it was just right on time, and everything was nobody can complain about it. I mean, they can't refute it because you give scriptures to everything that you were teaching on. You know, it's right in the Word of God. God has requested this. You know, and we were talking about division yesterday. It is the church is one of the greatest places that you can find division, especially on Sunday morning and more in the week when they don't see you for 2 or 3 weeks. Come to the building, who call you? Nobody call you. Apostle was talking about that yesterday. Said they was homesick and nobody called them. And they were in the church. Nobody would call them. And then there was when somebody do call and say, well, I see you, and I was just going to check on you. I was sick for 2 weeks or something was out home. And said, well, the church didn't nobody not to leave. And then the pastor got mad. Said, well, I talked to her. Said, well, you trying to cause division, no, because she tell the person not to start to cause division. She just said to the person, so well, I was homesick, but not even the leaders called me to check on me, and thank God for you calling to check on me, you know, and she left that church. Well, that's what happened. It's not that you want to cause division, but a lot of times you are saying things that is the truth, and people will become offended of it. They will become offended of it because the truth cuts. Truth is like a sword, two-edged sword. It cuts you going in and cuts you coming out. And sometimes when you speak it, people will get offended. They think you're coming at them,
right.
But you're not coming at them. It's just the truth of God. God's word will cut you. You know, that's why a lot of times a lot of leaders don't teach the truth. They teach a part truth, and a part truth is a lie. But you have to teach Ezekiel. So you got to teach the whole world, the whole scroll, the whole of words. You got to eat it all, you know. So how are they going to eat it all if you don't give them all? Like you put up this word this morning, this is all that you needed to hear. It's all truth, you know. It's all truth, you know. We have to come together. The body of Christ have to come together. We talked about yesterday after the service how God is coming to the church. And people think, well, he's coming to the world to convict the world. No, he's coming to the church first. He's coming to the body of believers, not the building. He's coming to the so-called body of believers that's supposed to do just and be compassionate and loving and kind and reach out to those that don't know him. But it's still what we do. We find ourselves ostracizing ourselves from them, you know, like we are all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. We put ourselves on pedestals because we've been going to the building 3-4 times a week, and we've been preaching the gospel 7 days a week, 6 days a week, whatever the Lord loves, and we think that we're there, but we're not there. God said, notice, I got one thing against you.
That's right.
You have left your first love. I got one thing against you. Yes, you've been going to church. Yes, we've been preaching. But you don't have no love. You don't have no love. You don't have no compassion. He said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And how we must do, we must release the same loving kindness. How are we going to draw them to him? we got to release love and kindness, and he would draw them. He would do the drawing then. Then he does the drawing because the word that we release would convict them, and it would also let them know that in spite of their lifestyle, that he loves them, just like he loved us in spite of our lifestyle, how we were living. You know, he loved us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I just thank you for that word. I thank you for that word. Bless you. Pray for Prophetess Millie, for her sister. Her sister is suffering with cancer. Pray for Prophetess Misha. She's suffering with she got stage 4 cancer, as far as I understand, in her lungs. You know, so we got to keep her in prayer. You know, we believe in God to heal her completely, heal her lungs. You know, you can have that stuff in you and don't even know it's in your body, because the stuff that we're eating today, all this stuff that we're eating is filled with so much impurities, you know. And we have to go back to the Garden of Eden and begin to grow our own vegetables and stuff, you know, have pots. Even if you don't have a house with a big garden, you know, I just make a garden out on the patio. I got a nice boat. It's about 6 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide. Nice garden out there to grow vegetables and stuff. You know, you have to go back. You have to go back to the Garden of Eden, because even in the supermarket, you know,
that's
you
right.
have to, unless you go to if you go to organic supermarkets that has organic foods, that's what you want to buy. The organic greens, they're going to cost you a little bit more, but at least, you know, you're eating something that's not contaminated with a lot of spray and all that stuff. They spray on the food to make the food, the vegetables and stuff get ripe fast, you know, so they can harvest early and so on. You have to start eating, and then you have to detox your body at least once a month. Detox your body. Use some stuff to detox your body, to clean the impurities out of your liver, out of your kidneys, you know. I mean, even if I use baking soda, because that's a good alkaline, and I use that, and it, you know, will clean you out. And if there's any stuff in there, you'll find yourself going to the bathroom a couple of times to get the stuff out of your body. It cleans your body, and then it alkaline your body and puts your body to fight against. Give your body what it needs to fight against the cancer cells and all this stuff that comes in the food that we eat. You know, you got to spend some time on your body, you know. Spend some time on your body. Your husband ain't going to spend your time on your body. Your wife ain't going to spend time on your body. Children ain't going to spend time. Your job not. You have to do it. We got to do it ourselves. We have to clean ourselves. You know, just like, you know, people are waiting for the Lord to come down from heaven and join them together. No, you have to join together. God already did the work. He already did the work on the cross. Now we got to reach out and love somebody. When he said American Army Warrant looking for somebody that they can reach out and touch, the Navy, well, we got to reach out and touch people with the love of Christ. He said, well, they're selling their body, they're prostitutes, or they are homosexual, they're lesbians, they're dope dealers. Well, it don't matter what their sin is. We still have to reach out with the love of Christ and tell them, you know, God love you. Don't tell them about their sin. They already know they're sinning. Tell them about the love of Christ. You know, that's how we'll win them for Christ. Because people say, well, you know, them church folks so uppity. They're so uppity. They're so uppity. They don't want to talk to you. They'll walk over on the other side of the street because they see you. We put ourselves so up like we not be better than they are. We're just a stone throw from hell. Just a stone throw from hell. Because one error can cause you to go to hell. Just one error. A stone throw from hell. So what I tell you, woman of God, just keep preaching and keep declaring what thus says the Lord. Keep trusting God. Like I told him yesterday after the message, after Pastor Washington preached, I said, look, I don't cross all the T's and I don't dot all the I's. But one thing for sure, I serve the one that is showing me every I that I miss and every T that I miss. He's showing to me. So I go back and I repent and say, Lord, strengthen me in this ear and help me to get to a place where I can help somebody. Because we can't strengthen nobody until we are strengthened in the areas of our lives that we can testify to somebody, you know, God has delivered me from this. And don't be afraid to share your testimony, people of God. Share your testimony. The Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You no longer love your life unto death, because you know your life now has been purchased by Christ by the blood, the shedding of the blood at Calvary. So share your testimony. Your testimony may help somebody to come out of what they're in, so they'll have a testimony. You know, they'll have a testimony. Say, Lord, brought me out. When the woman of God, when the man of God prayed for me, and I believe what God was saying through them, and I, yes, something happened in my life. I no longer do what I used to do. So something happened in my life. God has set me free. He has delivered me. And guess what? Your name would have a check mark next to it for leading that person to Christ, as showing them the way that they could be saved and sanctified. Glory to God. Well, we'll open the line if everybody knows Deacon. It looks like it's just you and I now and Deacon. Other people drop off. So we pray, remember to pray for Pastor Washington and Bishop Washington too. Remember to pray for them. I didn't get on the line last night, Deacon, but God knows I'll be on tonight. I'm working on this computer, trying to set this computer up. But it's giving me a lot of problems right now, so I have to try to get it up. It's just a small unit, but it's got a lot of stuff. It's just one of those things that I can plug in and don't care what kind of car, you know. I can fix my car myself. You know, I like to do everything myself. That's the truth. If it's too big for me, then I take it to the shop, but I do all the stuff. Lord, just give me some, God, give me some skills. When I was a young man, I used to go to mechanic schools back in the islands, and all is coming now to fruition for me to use it. Cause I just saved myself close to $3,000, if not more, for the work I just did on my truck. You know, I put new rotors up front, new brakes, and I put new brakes and new calibers in the back, and new rotors, and I also put new wheel speed sensors in, put two in the back, got to put two up front now. And I went on the internet and find them on eBay, and I got them, and I put all the stuff in. Yeah, and it's working fine. We took it out last night, went out last night, Nancy and I, and glory to God, it's driving like when we first got it. And Cadillac, they want to fix one wheel, just one wheel they want to fix, and they would charge me like $1,100-something. You know, so I told them, no, I'll do it myself. Put new shocks on everything, new air shocks on. I did it myself. And I got the shocks for less than half price on eBay. You know, Cadillac was going to charge me something like $1,100 or $1,300 to just put on one shot. I said, leave it alone. I fix it myself. But, yeah, you got to know. You got to practice some things. If you don't know, connect yourself. You know, I got this computer from Amazon, and it's a diagnostic computer. And what I do, I got this little gadget I just plug right on it, my dashboard. It goes, works on all cars. And I just plug that, and it tells me whatever going on with my car or her car, so that if she got to take a car into dealership for something that I can't fix, they're not going to rob her and say, well, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, I plug that thing in, and the computer will tell me everything that's going on, just like they do with it at the station. But they tell her this thing, like, you know, her engine light came on a couple of times, and they start telling her she got to replace this and replace that. And all it was a vacuum, so I just went and took the negative cable off the battery, and I waited 5 minutes, put it back on, and the engine light was gone. You know, because you got to know what you're doing. Anyway, Deacon, come on in and encourage Minister Ondera, and encourage her, and then you can pray for everybody, and then we'll get over here. God bless you. Thank you so much, Minister Ondera. That was a powerful, anointed word.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, Deacon Frazier.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord, Apostle. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Deacon.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We just thank the Lord on a beautiful day. We just thank God on the word that I heard this morning. I truly enjoyed it on the word this morning. Also, awesome word of God, and I just thank God for what I heard said about love and things I heard you say. And I really enjoyed what I heard. And we have to encourage someone who didn't, no matter what they've been through, no matter what our problem are, we have to tell them, you know, that it might have to be that testimony that might help somebody, to help someone, to encourage somebody. Because I truly say, I thank the Lord for being on today. You know, I said, I know I have not said a whole lot on none this week, because I still come and be listening. I don't get a chance to say anything, but I thank God I was able to come and hear the word of God. You know, I'm a kind of person to come and listen at the word of God. That will I really truth or joy the word of God, because, you know, we all have to hear the word alone. As long as the word doesn't go forward, no matter how much the way we see it or not, the word will go forward. No matter how we feel like we don't say anything, I just really truly enjoy what the woman of God was in you, what the love you showed, the love what God was in you. And I thank the Lord for you, because I really thank God what God is doing in your life. He's doing wonderful, great things. Keep on teaching and preaching the word of God. So you will succeed. We'll get your award someday. And we all get our award someday. And I just thank the Lord for what he is doing in your life. I just truly, truly say that he's doing wonderful things. You haven't seen anything yet. But I just truly say I really admire you what God can continue to do. Because everything we owe it all to God. We owe it all to Jesus. So we can't make it out the word of God. We can't make it without him. We can't make it without the Lord. We can't make it without him, because he's the one in our life. He's the one. We got to count on him. He the one that kept us, woke us up this morning, got us in our right mind. He the one that woke us up. He the one that put clothes on our back. He the one put food on the table. He the one that got to have to top our roof our head. He's the one that do it in our life. He the one that started on our way. No one that done it like Jesus. Nobody. No one do it. Can't no one do it like the Lord? No, nobody. Nobody like the Lord. He is our healer. He is our comforter. He will comfort us. We will comfort him. And he will keep us. He will not believe us and he won't forsake us. You know, when I think about Hebrews chapter 13, the fifth verse tells us that. He will never leave us and never forsake us, because he's always gonna be there for us. He's our healer. He's everything in our life. But he's doing wonderful things.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
In our life, he's doing greater things are coming. Greater things are coming in our life. Greater things, we said in the book of Psalms, chapter 1:18, said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice." And then what the book of Psalms say, chapter 1:18, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad it is." We just truly thank God that we all are here and we all are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we come where we go. You know, I've always say, Book of Deuteronomy tells us that in chapter 28, tells us that we all are blessed. And I just truly thank God that we are here. We are here. He kept us in our womb. He He is keeping us. He is blessing each one of us. Those of us didn't make it. Then are going on. But we still here. We still here and alive and well. Because he woke us up this morning. You know, on yesterday, you know, I had a tragic loss, one of my best first grade teachers. She's going on with the Lord, and she crossed over yesterday. She passed on 4 o'clock yesterday evening. And let me tell you, she was a woman of God lived her whole life. She lived her life. She was sick in it, but we just know that she was in a better place with the Lord. And that's something that...
My condolence to you on your loss. And I'm sorry to hear about that. You can continue.
She will be missed. And I just want to keep me in your prayers and keep myself family in prayers. We just want to... Her name is Colleen Smith. That's her name. Keep her family in prayer, her son in prayer. Her name is Walter Smith in prayer, his family in prayer. I just want to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. That was his mother had passed, so we just want to keep him lifted up. And I, like I said, woman of God, I thank God for the word, what I heard, the word of God. I thank God for you and thank God what God is doing in your life, and he's going to continue to do greater things in your life. And I really, truly enjoy it, what I heard this morning. And this time I sit back, rang back the scripture on today. I had plenty of time to write scripture down. And I thank God for that. I was writing scripture down on today, and I thank God for it. That I was sitting back, a scroll from scripture down when he was called on the mouth, and I did get a chance to write the scripture down. That's what I did. I thank God for that. Just thank the Lord on today. So, woman of God, keep on doing in the work of God. Let God continue to use you, doing things in your life, and do greater work. He's doing wonderful things in your life, and he's going to continue to do more things in your life, in your family, in your sister and brother, and continue to keep doing things, working in your life, and you are a Proverbs chapter 31 woman, and let God continue, let Jesus lead you. You know, we're saying it in the church all the time. Let Jesus continue to lead you all the way.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for what he's doing. So may God send out a blessing you on the word. May God send out a blessing on the word, and may he keep you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. May he keep you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Deacon. If no one else is going to respond, yes, sir. Minister on this prayer, so and we will see you all on tonight on Deacon Freeze's international prayer line.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Frazier, for that word of encouragement, and also for adding to the word. We give God glory for you and for your faithfulness and continue blessings that he is pouring out upon your life. Amen. And my condolences to the loss of your teacher. I know you said it last night, but I don't think I responded. So let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord, thanking you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father God, we're thanking you for the beauty of who you are. Father God, that you've been there from the beginning of time, Father God, and you've been with us throughout time, throughout our years on this earth, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And you're going to be there in the end as well. So we're just thanking you, Father God, for your power, Father God, for your strength, for your grace, your mercy, Father God, for your forgiveness in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, as we are going forth today, Father God, we ask that you look over each and every one of us, dear Lord. Father God, for those who are on the line and those who are not able to come in the line, Father God, for those who heard the word or those who will hear the word, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you pull an opening in their heart, dear Lord, that they will choose to serve you, that they will choose to be united with you, Father God, that they will claim their position in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're praying for Pastor Millie and Pastor Millie's sister in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, as she's battling cancer, dear Lord, that you will strengthen her body, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, even for Prophetess Misha, Father God, as she's at a stage 4 cancer, Father God, this is just a germ, dear Lord, to the body that we know you already have the antidote for. Father God, we're asking you, dear Lord, to touch them in their position that they're at, dear Lord. Father God, we're asking you to put healing, pour healing upon their bodies, Father God. Give them the medicine. Give them the touch that they need, dear Lord, to revive and recover in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, wherever there's ever any pain or aches, Father God, in their body due to this cancer, dear Lord, we're asking you, dear Lord, to give them comfort, Father God, in this situation, Father God, as they go through, dear Lord. Father God, let their light shine, your light, Father God, shine within them, even as they're going through this trial, dear Lord, they will continue to glorify you, dear Lord, and others will be strengthened, Father God, by them, by their love, by their faith that they have in you, Father God, that their hearts will also be changed, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're asking you to touch Prophetess Millie, dear Lord. Father God, with her breathing, dear Lord. Father God, whatever is her hindrance at this moment, dear Lord, we're asking you to open her airways, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow her, dear Lord, to breathe easy, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever blockage is going on within her, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we're asking you to open the entrance, Father God. Open it, dear Lord, that she will have relief in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're praying for Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for their love, Father God. We thank you for their faithfulness. Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, because you have them covered and wrapped tight in the mighty name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, because you are healing their bodies. You're healing their eyes, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. You're healing them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, Father God. Every situation that they have cried out to you for silently, Father God, those silent prayers are just between you and them, dear Lord. I'm asking you, dear Lord, to open the doors of access, that they will receive it. Open the doors of manifestation, that their family will be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. For whatever it is that their children are in need of in the mighty name of Jesus, I know that you have already granted towards them. Allow it, Father God, to come to fulfillment, fruition, Father God, in this earth, tangibly, Father God, that they will be able to see it, Father God, and glorify you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're praying for Deacon Frazier's teacher, Father God, for the family, for the son, Father God, that have lost his mother, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, and every family or friend that is attached to this woman, dear Lord. We're asking you, Father God, for comfort in their spirit, comfort in their hearts, and comfort in their homes, dear Lord, to stand strong. Father God, I'm thanking you for Apostle Callender and his household in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will continue to use him mightily in this kingdom, Father God, as you help us all to stay united in you. Father God, that you will continue to use them and provide the necessary funds that is needed or whatever is needed, Father God, for him to be able to help those in Africa as well as in India, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, that you will continue, Father God, to allow others to pour into their ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are thanking you for the love that we carry, each and every one of us, for your people, dear Lord. Allow us, dear Lord, in our various helpings that we have helped those around us to be able to continue to provide, to be able to continue to help and pour out in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I'm praying for my friend, Mr. Onya, Father God, as he is going through and battling cancer, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will bring healing upon his body in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will give him the recovery that he's needed, Father God, so that he can continue, Father God, to live a life pleasing unto you, that his family, Father God, that is so dependent on him, Father God, will not lose their support in the mighty name of Jesus. For you know how hard it is, dear Lord, in Africa, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, continue to shine your light and your ways, Father God, to go forth. Father God, we see struggle here in America, Father God, but in these countries, third world, Father God, we know, you know, Father God, the real struggle that they face, Father God. The not the ability to even make funds, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because the work is not there. Father God, we're asking you to touch this world. Father God, continue to heal this world, the coronavirus that is in it, Father God. Give us the measures and the knowledge and wisdom, Father God,
please,
to protect ourselves, dear Lord, that we will have a movement, Father God, that we will get back to the normalcy that you need us to be. Father God, continue to touch the body of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus, that they will continue to draw nearer and closer to you, Father God, as you are there waiting for us, Father God, with your arms wide open. You've never closed your heart, and you've never closed your arms to us, Father God. You keep stretching forth to us, Father God. Allow us to draw unto you, Father God. Touch them and revive them. Open their ears, spiritual minds, that they will see you, Father God, see your glory, see your light, and say, yes, I want to stay with my dad. I want to stay with my father because he is the only one that has cared and been there for me from the beginning of time. Father God, we are thanking you, Father God, for just your love, your mercy, for evangelists, I keep saying apostle, Darlene Campbell, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will continue to bless her, Father God, and encourage her, Father God. Continue to allow her to stand strong, Father God, in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are giving you glory, Father God, for her life. Father God, we're thanking you for Sister Tina, Father God. Father God, whatever situation or struggle that she might be facing at this moment, Father God, we ask that you continue to open the doors for her, Father God, that you give her the movement that she needs, dear Lord, to be able to rise. Father God, to rise back to her standards of where she was, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are thanking you for everything, Father God, seen and unseen, spoken or unspoken in the mighty name of Jesus, because we know you are the creator of all things. Father God, you are the creator of this beautiful world. Father God, no matter if it's cold, if it's hot, Father God, your beauty is still seen. So, Father God, give us the wisdom, give us the understanding to continue to serve you wholeheartedly in our genuine self of who you are, in the genuinity that you have called us to be, my Lord, my Savior, my King. We give you honor and praise and glory for the more that you have poured out. Father God, we thank you and we exalt your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much. Give my love to your family and to your husband and to your daughter,
yes.
Sisters and brothers,
niece
and nephews, and just let the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you so much for all you're doing for the kingdom, woman of God. Just keep your head up high in the Lord,
amen.
In the Lord, in the Lord, and keep your foot grounded, rooted and grounded in his word. Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus. I pray protection over you and over everything that you do. As you travel back and forth on the highways, I pray, God,
amen,
continue to put a hedge of protection around your car. Keep your eyes,
amen,
open when you're traveling, that you wouldn't sleep behind the wheel. And, God, keep you safe and,
amen,
protect Minister Alondra. Keep her safe,
yeah,
in the mighty name of Jesus. We just pray for her. And your husband, I pray that God will work on all things that you are working on for your good,
amen,
and for his glory. In Jesus'
amen
holy name we pray. Have a blessed evening.
Amen.
Bye-bye, you all.
I have,
love you
I
guys.
Have an exam, exam on Monday, if possible. Oh.
It shall
I'm
be
going.
Well.
Oh.
It shall be well. It shall be well.
Amen.
It shall be well.
Amen. We have
daughter,
some,
it shall be well.
Today.
It shall be well.
Amen.
It shall,
amen,
be well. Hear what I'm telling you.
Like
God will bring all things.
Mm.
He will bring everything,
amen,
back to your remembrance. Just trust him. Don't get fear. Don't get nervous because that don't belong to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't belong,
amen,
to you. Fear and nervousness don't belong to you. You say, Lord, it comes in, oh Lord,
Jesus.
I give this to you because it don't belong to me. You have not given this to me. I'm trusting,
amen,
you to open my mind, eye to see the questions and the answers. In Jesus'
amen
name, it should all come together for your good, okay? God bless you. Keep
amen
on. Keep the faith and keep doing what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle.
All right.
God bless you. Love you guys.
You are. You love you, boo.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
There you go. Bye-bye.